So today is a special day. Today is Magaputta. Huh? Magaputta was the day, you know, where 1,250 arahants listened to the Patimokkha. Yeah? We just listened to the Patimokkha, yeah? And these 1,250 arahants, yeah? I mean, they don't need any rules, yeah? But they listened to the Patimokkha, yeah? And they said, you know, this was great, yeah? After listening to the Patimokkha, probably the Prabhupada Chao, you know, also gave a short desana to them, yeah? But they were very happy about it, yeah? These rules, you know, make us as monks, you know, live a very comfortable life and live a life without any hassles, yeah? Any adversities and so on. Because it regulates all the encounters with other monks, all the encounters with lay people, all the encounters with women, yeah? What we can do, what we should do, and what we should not do, yeah? And what is, yeah? I mean, there are four rules, you know, that throw us out, you know, without, you know, throw us out of the monkhood, yeah? Never to be ordained again in this life, and when we end our life going down to the deepest hell, yeah? These are four rules that every monk, you know, should remember very well. Yeah? We're called parachika. So when we are here today, it's also a full moon, yeah? I mean, full moon normally is a very good day, you know, for our putting some effort in our practice. Yeah? We don't need to now I have to switch from Thai back to English. We don't have to light our candles. We don't have to light our candles anymore, you know, because, I mean, the full moon will be there the whole night. So we can use the time, on this day, you know, wisely, you know, and put a lot of effort in our walking meditation, especially walking meditation. It's very nice, yeah. I mean, it's much, much more cooling. Now it has gotten hot, you know, after not such a long time, you know, of being cold. Now it's getting hot again, you know, and sitting then in the kuti, you know, I mean, it is hot, yeah. So, walking chankram, you know, in the cooler night, you know, I mean, it is much, much better, yeah. And every kuti here has a chankram pass, so I mean, you can put some effort into your practice, yeah. And that's what I said, you know, about walking chankram. I just told the Thai lay people, this is so helpful. It can be so helpful if you use walking chankram walking chankram wisely. There's a starting point, there's an end point. And then when we are at the starting point, we decide, okay, for this one walk, I will stick with the Buddha. Mm-hmm. Whenever we come to the ending point, yeah, we think about, have we stayed with the Buddha? And it hardly happens, you know, that we could stay all the time with the Buddha. And just for these two or three minutes that we can walk, yeah? We walk normally, we can walk fast, but we should never walk slowly. Because when we walk slowly, I mean we go in dreams. Yeah? So when we turn around, we don't think about, you know, walking for an hour, or walking for 2 hours, or walking for 3 hours. We just think about, okay, this one path, I will really determine to stay with the Buddha or stay with the breath if you take the breath, yeah? And then turn around, yeah? And that keeps, you know, that fosters our sati, yeah? Because we have to turn around, yeah? I mean, we don't walk in circles, you know, we have to turn around. So each time, you know, when we turn around, we foster our sati, because this path, you know, we take, yeah? And stay and stick with the Buddha. And then we can check at the end of the path, you know, where did we drift off, yeah? Don't think too long, yeah? Just know, okay, yeah, probably half, yeah? Okay, now this path, I will do it, yeah? When we do sitting meditation, it is much more difficult to keep the sati, because the sati in the beginning is very strong, you know, and then it goes slowly, 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 and we don't notice, you know, and then the citta starts to dream, you know, and then it goes out in thought, yeah, and after 2 or 3 hours we remember, oh, where's my Buddha? Huh? Some people can do it, yeah, I mean, it is for some people who are good in practice, I mean, they have no problem in doing sitting meditation for 2-3 hours and stick with it, yeah. But for most people, you know, who are in the beginning phases, do have some problems. So that's where walking meditation comes in. And after we finish our walking meditation, our sitting meditation will be much, much better. Because we have developed the sati, yeah? We have to develop some sort, you know, some sort of concentration that we then can put, yeah? Don't make a break between sitting and walking, yeah? I mean, just go to your place to sit, yeah? Don't go to the toilet or do this or do that, yeah? Just go directly to the sitting meditation, and then you transfer the energy that you develop during your walking meditation into the sitting meditation. If you make 5 minutes break, you know, I mean, you lose this energy. That is the problem with a lot of people, you know. Ah, I said for 1 hour, you know, now I make a break, you know. And while they do the break, you know, the whole energy of the whole effort that we put for this 1 hour, yeah. I mean, it goes within 5 minutes, you know, it's just like a big poof and gone, yeah. And then we have to sit again, you know, and then we sit for 1 hour, you know, okay, towards the end, maybe it is getting better, or maybe it's getting worse. Okay, now I make a break. No, don't, yeah. I mean, just change, you know, directly. If you cannot sit, or if you cannot walk very long, yeah, at least say, okay, now, let's have a session of 3, yeah. First one walking, then one sitting, then one walking, yeah. And don't, you know, don't make a break between. Because then you will see, you know, then you will slowly start to see, you know, the results of your effort. Yeah? But at the same time, you will also see the kilesas coming up that want to have a break, yeah, that want to do this or do that, think about this and think about that. Yeah? Or when you come then in the afternoon to Panna, talk about this, you know, oh, my meditation was so wonderful, you know, and talk about this and talk about that. And then, after Panna, after having, you know, a drink, you know, you go back to your kuti and your mind is all over the whatever you talked about. Yeah? I mean, and then it takes about an hour, or it takes about 2 hours, you know, to get this conversation out. Oh, I should have said this, or I should have said that, or I should have mentioned this, or, you know, he was not right this, or, and so on, and so on. I mean, we should, yeah, the more we stay quiet, yeah, the more we stay quiet, yeah. I mean, when you take, that was the first thing, you know, my teacher, Lungta Mahapur, told me, yeah, when I was sitting there at Panna, actually I was talking with Lungpu Panya about, I think about visa or something like that. And then Lungta came, you know, I mean, he pointed his finger, I'm your teacher. I teach you, yeah? When you come here to the Namron, you know, wherever you have Panna or wherever you have drink, you take your drink, you sit down, drink it, and go back to your kuti and practice. You don't talk, yeah? And, yeah. And he knew why, yeah? He knew why he said it, yeah? And it was, for me, it was a great relief, yeah? Because Lumpu Panya liked to talk a lot. So I was relieved of the duty to sit, you know, for 2 hours and listen to all his stories. Yeah? So I was really grateful to Lungta, you know, to give me this. And then whenever Lumpu Panya asked me, you know, to sit with him, I said, no, you know, I mean, Lungta is coming out. When he sees me, you know, he kicks me out, yeah. So that is really helpful, yeah? And it really helped me so much, yeah? Everybody has his own kuti, you know, so you don't get, you know, you don't see, I mean, here the kuti is so sparse, you know, I mean, you don't see the other person, yeah? I mean, when I was in Wat Papandat at my Kuti, I mean, I was lucky because the other person, you know, I mean, who was opposite, I could just see barely through. I mean, he walked for 5-6 hours, you know. I mean, it was amazing, you know. So that is, that can be inspiring, you know, if you, oh, I'm so tired, yeah. And then you see, oh, he's still walking. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to sitting, yeah. But normally, you know, everybody is on his own, you know, and he can develop, he is not entangled in all these things, yeah. So, I mean, his concentration on the Buddha or his concentration on the breath becomes stronger. And once we develop the samadhi, once the mind really gets calm, then we see the happiness in the heart arises. Right? Then we see we don't need anything. Yeah? Because at that moment, you know, we are completely satisfied. When there is no thoughts coming up, when there is no memory coming up, we are completely satisfied. We don't want anything. There is still this experience, you know, we still hear the sounds, we still have feelings, yeah. But that's it, yeah. But there is no future, there is no past, there is no worries, there is no thinking going on. So, I mean, we are completely satisfied. The moment we come out of the samadhi, I mean, then this wanting comes back in, yeah. And then we see how much punvai, how much messy this all is, you know, how much unrest days. You know, the moment we come out, we really come out of samadhi, and we should, when we really deep in samadhi, we should really come out slowly. Don't come out abruptly. Don't just get up, yeah? I mean, the moment you decide to get out of samadhi, yeah? Don't open your eyes yet, yeah? Just say, okay, now I'm getting out of samadhi. Where am I, yeah? Just make sure, you know, okay, I'm with the breath, now I slowly open my eyes, you know, and then I do whatever, you know, I mean, is necessary to do, right? Or I just change, you know, and then decide, okay, I just change my sitting position, from sitting position into walking position, or from walking position into sitting position. Don't come up too abruptly, you know, because it sometimes can, can startle one. And that is not good. And then one suddenly questions, you know, well, what is going on? But that only happens, you know, if one gets really, really a bit deeper, yeah? So after doing our samadhi, you know, when we get into the state, you know, then we still develop the state until we can really stay in samadhi for 10, 15, 20 minutes. I mean, the longer, the better it is. Yeah? But if we can stay in samadhi for 10, 15 minutes, then, yeah, I mean, we can choose at the beginning only for 1 hour a day. Yeah, for 1 hour a day, I mean, we can choose to investigate. Yeah, and investigate, you know, the foremost khanda that needs to be investigated, and this is the body. Investigate the body, investigate your life, investigate, you know, how you were born, you know, how you trained the body, how you educated the body, you know, until you were 18, you know, when you fully were capable of this body, you know, being capable of using this body to the full extent. Yeah? And then think about, you know, your parents or your friends, you know, who get older and older and then start, yeah. We start to break apart, the body breaks apart, and then we die. This is the first kind of general investigation we do, yeah? And then ask ourselves, you know, what does this body give us, yeah? We have to take care of it. I mean, most of us, I mean, first of all, we train this body, we train this body to learn to walk, to talk, yeah? Then we educate it to learn to write, to think, you know, and to read, yeah? And then we start to work, yeah? We work for this body. No matter what kind of profession we have, we still have to work for this body because we need money, yeah? We need money, you know, to buy food, we need money, you know, to get accommodation, yeah? We need money to buy clothes, you know, and we need money, you know, I mean, to go to the doctor or buy medicine, you know, when we get sick, yeah? So, I mean, from the age of 18, or some people who go to university, from the age of 22, you know, to the age of 65, I mean, we work, yeah? And at 65, our body is already, you know, I mean, broken down, yeah? I mean, worn out, yeah? It's just like a car, you know, you use it, you know, and, you know, when you're old, then you can drive for fun, you know, whatever, yeah? And that is a very valid reflection. And then ask, you know, what is the purpose of my life? This question we should ask ourselves, you know, often, yeah? What is the purpose of my life, huh? What is after, you know, when I die, you know, I know, you know, okay, we are Buddhists, you know, we know there's a next life, yeah? The next life will not be, most probably will not be human, yeah? It will be either in the upper realms or in the lower realms, but it will not be in the human realms. It is very seldom that a person, you know, who dies, you know, is born as a human again, yeah? So we should think about it, yeah? So what do I take out? What do I take with this life? What do I want from this life? Yeah? Because we know we all work for the body. You know, I mean, when you look at the West, you know, what do they do? Yeah, they go to the fitness studio, not to make the body strong. Yeah, then some of them are vegan, some of them are vegetarians. You know, some of them say this kind of food, you know, that kind of food, you know, we should behave like that. And it's all about the body. Our attachment to this body is so strong. And it will take so much time to get rid of this attachment, to undermine the power of the kilesas who are so attached to this body. It will take such a long time, and we have to do it over and over again, yeah? And then we think, oh, okay, we are attached from the body, and the next moment we grab something and we see we are not actually detached from the body, because we still do. We still long for these things. We still long for this gratification, you know, that we think the body gives us, yeah? But actually the body doesn't give us any gratification, yeah? The body, you know, gives us only the signal that we are hungry, that we are sleepy, or that we are thirsty, and tells us, you know, to eat something, or to sleep, you know, or to drink something. That's the signal that it gives. Or, when it is sick, you know, it gives us a signal to go and see a doctor, or to get some medicine, or take some medicine. Yeah? And once we take the medicine, or we take the food, or we take the shit, you know, and so on, then we are happy again. Yeah, that's all what the body does. Yeah, we don't see this. You know, we don't see this, that the body is a tool. Yeah, it is a tool. Yeah, and especially when we listen to the teachings of the Lord Buddha, you know, then he says this human life is so precious. Please don't waste it, because with this human life, yeah. This is the jumping board, or this is, you know, this is the gate that we could open to go into Nibbana, yeah? It is very difficult for people who are satisfied to practice. Huh? It is very difficult, or it is impossible for people, you know, who have so much dukkha to practice, yeah? Because all what they see is their problems, yeah? But we in the human realm, have at most, you know, 50% of sukha and 50% of dukkha. That's why we can see the difference, yeah? People have too much sukha, they never see the dukkha, yeah? People who have too much dukkha, they never see the sukha, yeah? Sukha is happiness and dukkha is unhappiness, or discomfort. And that's why the human realm is so precious, and that's why we should use, you know, once we decide, yeah, that's why we should use every moment until we die, yeah, to get on the path, yeah, even if we can't make it, even if we can't go and enter the stream in this life, you know, but we can at least go to the door, yeah, or in the direction of the door to the stream entry, so that in the next life, yeah, and the more we determined, yeah, the more we are determined, you know, to the end of the stream, or to go to Nibbana, yeah, to enter Arahantship, yeah, the more this determination goes into the next life, it becomes sort of karma, yeah? Like thought is karma, yeah? Action, speech is karma, yeah? Our intention, you know, to speak something, you know, speaking, you know, something of Dhamma, or thinking about I want to, paves the path, you know, towards enlightenment, or towards, you know, entering the stream. Even if you can't make it in this life, yeah, we already have a big stone, you know, or we already have, you know, some good merit, you know, for the next life to progress there further on. Yeah, it takes I don't know how many lives it takes, you know, to prepare oneself to go on the road to arahantship, but it takes many lives. Yeah, we are. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we ordain, you know, I've seen so many people. Huh? I mean, how many did I ordain? About, I think about 16, yeah? And what is left? It's about 8, yeah? They suddenly decide, you know, after 2 or 3 years, huh? Sometimes after 1 year, sometimes after half a year, yeah? They decide, oh, it's too difficult, yeah? But at least they made a stepping stone, yeah? So in the next life, they might ordain for 2 years more, yeah? Huh? So, and then the next, yeah, and then in one life after that, you know, they ordain for half of their life and then for the full life, you know? And then they ordain for the full life, one life after the other, yeah? Until they reach the Sotapanna, the stream entry. Yeah? So, for us it is important to know these things and to reflect very often, yeah? Death is coming, so let's make the best out of this now that we have chosen, you know, now that we have chosen to be at this monastery, you know, let's give our best effort, and until the day I die, you know, let's put some effort. At least, you know, make a little step, yeah? If you can't make a full step, you know, make half step, yeah? What did the Lord Buddha say about? Who doesn't make a step forward makes 2 steps backwards, yeah? So don't let make a step backward. Yeah? Even a half step forward is better than 2 steps backward. Yeah? So put our attention on it. Yeah. And this, yeah, even if we die, you know, even if we die tomorrow, if we are determined today, you know, to practice, you know, to the fullest amount that we can do. Yeah. I mean, we can take this into the next life. Yeah. People think about next life. What do I know? Yeah. I mean, think about the next life as, you know, going tonight to bed, you know. Huh? I mean, you still have pretty much the same mindset when you wake up, yeah? So that isn't, when you think about this, you know, it will not be very different, you know, from dying, you know, and going into the next life, because the mindset is still the same, yeah? But, you know, we can tend to forget, you know, because if we see something new and we know that from our world, yeah? I mean, we have a certain mindset. Huh? For instance, yeah, when we go in a big city, you know, and we just wanted to buy this thing, then we suddenly see this and this and this and this, and we get distracted. Yeah. So I mean, the stronger our mindset is, yeah, and the better it is, and then we just go and buy this, you know, and then come back, yeah, and are not distracted by all these other things, you know, that flare up, you know, flare up like, you know. Nice light. Yeah. Okay, so this should be enough for today. Yeah, I mean, take the opportunity that is given to you, also through your karma. Yeah, take the opportunity to the fullest. Yeah, and make the best out of your life. Yeah, okay.